So, my guest today and all my notes and everything were all in the golf news. So if you'd like to introduce yourself on that microphone to the listeners. Right, you can go ahead. Right.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Justine de Guzman. I'm a local on Waiheke. As you might have seen, my flyers are around Waiheke on some of the notice boards. I've also advertised in the Gulf News. I am a YB12 life coach. I've already started marketing for my new business venture, which is called X Consulting. I offer professional services such as life coaching, business coaching, psychometric assessment analysis, and I'm also in the business of public speaking and youth mentoring.
Right. Well, thank you very much for doing that, Justine. Thank you, because I picked up a Gulf News in my house, and it was the wrong one, and everything I needed to know to introduce you was in that, so pays to check the date. So thank you very much. That was a very confident introduction. So how long has this new venture of yours been up and running?
So it's relatively new. I have been setting up for the past year, since the beginning of the year, but I did sign on with YB12 last year, just before the end of my semester at university.
So YB12 is it a type of program, or?
That's correct.
Yeah.
It specializes in life coaching and business coaching.
Right. So that's an organization overseas?
Correct, yes.
Oh, right. So you've signed up with that, and then you can use their material.
Yes, that's correct. So they have been working for 20 years, started in Australia, and now they're expanding rapidly around the globe. Now it's being offered in New Zealand, Australia, Canada, USA, United Kingdom, and South Africa.
Wow. So this is the basis of your seminar that you're putting on, the YB12. Is that the basis of it?
That's correct.
Right.
It will be an introductory seminar to what it is exactly that I do.
Yep. Right. So when's that going to be? We'll get that out there.
Okay.
So when are you going to do that?
So my first seminar, I decided I wanted to have it on Waiheke. So I've booked it at the end of May on the 28th, which is a Wednesday, at 7 p.m. And I've booked it from 7 till 8:30, although I will have time for questions at the end within that 1.5 hours. It will be held at Surfdale Hall.
Right. And that's going to be an introduction to the whole concept, or you as a consultant, as a life coach?
I will introduce myself in the beginning, but the content within that seminar is not only an introduction to what it is that we work through with clients in the YB12 program, but it's also a free life coaching session, because within that I will be providing techniques and tools that people can implement straight away to help them overcome procrastination.
Oh, right. That's something I haven't made my mind up about yet, is procrastination. That's a big issue for people, isn't it? Procrastination. At least I find it's a big issue for me. That's what I should say. Own it.
Well, procrastination, yes, it's a normal thing. And what we need to recognize, which is something that I will cover in my seminar, is that failure is a normal part of everyday life. And procrastination is one of the biggest reasons why we fail. Failure is not a problem. What is important is the way we look at failure. If we look at failure from a positive perspective, we realize that how many times, for example, how many times does it take for an Olympic athlete to break a new world record? How many times do they have to fail to reach that world record before they've actually broken it? Failure can be something that you can build success upon. But if it's repetitive, and if it's coming to a point where you are just procrastinating all the time and it becomes debilitating and you never seem to overcome your procrastination, then that's when it becomes a problem.
Yeah. So it's that idea of fail to plan to fail.
Exactly. That's
yeah.
exactly
And
right.
That's what happened this morning, because I got telephone calls about my work, which I very rarely do, and then I had notes and things, and I didn't. I had two golf news. I didn't look at them properly. I really should have had everything stacked up nicely, and I just grabbed one and that's it, and off I went, and it wasn't this week's. It was the week before. And it's, you know, and it can be quite hard just on the radio, because you do, it is important to plan, because you're trying to deal with the people. You've got the desk here, you've got all the things, the music and everything, you've got guests coming and going, and you really do have to have it planned. So today wasn't perfect as I'd like it. So what are the other things that you do? What's life coaching?
Okay, so life coaching, one of the biggest distinctions that I need to make, because a lot of people ask this question, is what is the difference between life coaching and a therapist or a counselor? What we as life coaches do is not that we don't just offer expert advice for people to take. We offer a supportive discovery-based framework where we make the assumption that the individual has the power within themselves to change. What we offer is action, accountability, and follow through. That is the emphasis of life coaching. And we do believe that within the individual, they know what it is that they want. We offer the exercises, some advice, supportive network for them to achieve their goals.
Right. Oh, that's excellent. So yes, there is a major difference there, and it's quite simply seen when you explain that. So you are available as a life coach for people. If somebody came to you and say, yes, I'd like to work with you, what does it actually involve?
So I will apply the YB12 program, which has been proven to be very successful in both business and in personal life. I would assume that if an individual came to me wanting to be life coached, the assumption for a life coach would be this person is ready for change. This person is ready to create some outcomes in their life, whether it's personal or business. And this person is ready to start moving forward and take on any exercises or anything that it is that this program has to offer that they can apply in everyday life so that they can achieve those outcomes.
So you would, in the very beginning, obviously, ensure there was a commitment there, because if there's no commitment, then really it's not going to work, is it?
That's true. That is very correct. For an individual to initiate change, they have to be wanting the change.
Yeah, yeah.
Otherwise, nothing will happen.
No,
obviously.
They can't just, hopefully you'll provide something that's different for them.
That's correct.
Because you provide the framework, they have to do the work.
That's correct. And that's what I love about life coaching, is that we give the power back to the person, to the individual. If they want something, we tell them, you know what, that's right, you go ahead and get it, and I'm going to support you, and I'm going to help you. And I have the right tools, and I rub shoulders with other coaches that have so much other experience in different areas that will also be able to impart that kind of information to help you move forward. So what they will be investing in is not only an outcome that they wanted to achieve, they're not only investing in life coaching from me, but they're also going to be gaining information and wisdom from fellow life coaches that I'll be working alongside with.
Do you have something like supervision or something, that kind of thing? Do you know, like, do you have someone that you can reflect to about your own work and what you're working on and how you're dealing with things? Do you have a mentor or someone that you talk to?
Yes, actually, I have.
I don't need to know who it is, but I just wondered if you had somebody.
So within the program, it's similar to counseling in that counselors also have an accountability person.
Yep. And that's what they call them. I call them supervisors, accountability person. That's what I'm talking about.
Okay, so what we call them is our master coach.
Oh, great.
And I have a really, really dynamic, enthusiastic master coach that also helps me to stay on track. And not only from that, I learn what it is to be a life coach from being coached myself.
Yeah. Oh, that's excellent. And you've achieved a lot in a very short time. When were you at the high school?
I was in the high school. I was a leaver at 2010.
And it's now 2014. And you've done your degree?
Correct.
And you did your degree in
psychology and statistics at the University of Auckland.
And you were talking, and so you finished your bachelor's?
That's correct.
You're thinking about doing any more?
I am thinking about continuing. I was looking at things like diploma, postgraduate diploma in counseling, but when I came across life coaching, having done psychometric assessment analysis, I did a course while I was at my doing my degree. We had to analyze our own sort of personality and our abilities, our strengths and our weaknesses as practice for analyzing other people's assessments. And I just, because psychometric assessments are much more predictive in power compared to a CV or any other reference or resumes, it listed for me all my strengths and weaknesses, and everything that was my strength fit with the job description of a life coach. So I decided to go ahead and start the journey as a life coach.
It's really interesting. I remember years and years ago, the funniest thing they did with me, they did one of those tests on a number of people, and we were all being appointed managers, and they did it, and I was the only one that wasn't suitable to be a manager. I should have been in the creative, entrepreneurial sort of, I should have been in the marketing department. But they didn't do that. They still kept me as a manager. And I'm a good manager, but I was much better at all the other things. But they just, we'll do this, but we've already decided. So I thought, why bother? You know, I've still got it.
That's good.
And I don't fit with the actual managers. I mean, I can do it, but I do it in a very different way to other people. I've driven my bosses crazy over the years because I'm very creative with it. But I thought, well, why did they do this? Because I didn't need it because they were going to make me whatever they wanted to. So it's something you've got to be able to follow. And it was great that you could look at it, look at your strengths and say, what does this fit into? Because then you were going to be, I mean, there's fairly good predictability of success there, isn't there?
There is. It's also not looking at, it looks at your strengths and your weaknesses. It also looks at the type of person that you are, your personality. So maybe you may not have ranked very highly in creativity, but what they saw was your character, how it is that you deal with conflict, how it is that you solve problems. That's a lot of things. The psychometric assessments are so comprehensive that they measure so many dimensions in your personality, where it's not just your capabilities, but also in your mind, how it is that you would deal with certain situations. And they repetitively measure that dimension using a whole bunch of different items, which they generate from a bank. So it will vary, and it'll always differ in different tests, but it's very reliable, it's very valid.
Are you able to do that yourself? Are you able to do testing?
So what I do is I'm able to interpret the results. I'm able to interpret and analyze the results, but the psychometric assessments themselves have been developed by PhD psychologists and statisticians, which are suppliers. Yep. Of specific types of psychometric assessments, because they range from professional styles. There's psychometric assessments specific to managerial roles. There's also aptitude tests and other tests like that.
So you've got the basic material, and that's pretty much set, and then you're able to interpret them, which is the real, in some ways, that's where the real thing you want to know, isn't it, if you're employing somebody?
That's correct.
How do they work out?
That's correct.
That's excellent. And do you really enjoy them?
I do. I'm actually in connection with the developer of the psychometric assessments, the woman who tested the results, the one who analyzed the predictability in psychology. She's a lecturer at the university. She has a PhD in psychology in industrial and organizational psychology. And I don't work alongside her, but we have the connection where we just talk, and she can help me. She helps me to supply whatever it is that I need to through people-centric, which is business development. organization.
Excellent. So you've really put, in 3 years, three and a bit years, you've really put a lot of work into. Did you have this plan? How early did you know that you were going to be doing what you're doing now?
As a life coach, that came upon me quite spontaneously, actually. The beauty of it is I jumped into life coaching before last year finished, as a really spur of the moment decision where I said, okay, that's it. I want to be a life coach. There was no planning about it. There was nothing in my past, in my history, where I purposefully and deliberately chose to become a life coach. Not at all. What happened is, and this is an important thing that we emphasize as well in life coaching, is that you have to follow the things that you are passionate about, the things that are in line with who you are as a person, in order for you to succeed. So for me, which is also a great testimony to what it is that we do as a life coach, is that the kind of person that I am is very enthusiastic, very motivating. I have a leadership background, public speaking, everything that it is that in my past that I was involved in fit with what it is that I was going to become. And all I did was simply follow through with everything that I was passionate about, everything that was that were my strengths and my skill sets fell within life coaching. So it sort of all fell into place rather than me planning for something to happen.
So it was, you started that idea of life coaching this year?
Last year.
Oh, last year.
The end of last year.
Oh, end of last year.
That's correct.
So, wow. So that was just spontaneous, but it all fitted in. What had you thought about before? Had you thought about what were you going to be when you grew up?
Of course. As a graduate, you're always wondering, is this degree going to be useful? Because in reality, If you're out at the university and you're seeing all these other students studying alongside you, you're wondering, where is everybody going to go after their degree?
Yeah, there's too many of us.
That's true. That's what you think. That's what you see when you're with a sea of potential graduates. You'll be competing with them in the workplace. And for most of us, we want to enter into mainstream jobs like HR or anything managerial, anything like that. Now, what I was looking at was something to do along the lines of human resources, where I would help people find the right job fit for them, which is funny because that's still what I'm doing, but it's under self-employment rather than an organization.
It's interesting because I suppose life coaching isn't that old. It's a fairly new, I mean, for the actual life coaching structure that's available now.
Yeah.
There was always something like that, but it was put different names. But the life structure, because it's reasonably new, mostly the people I've met who are life coaches, and I know a few, they've all taken it on later in life, you know, because they've been working through other things. I haven't met anyone yet that's taken it straight off from university, and they're usually not young people because it wasn't invented then. And so this is really interesting to meet someone who made that decision, and it's very early. And you've got the enthusiasm, you've got the confidence, you've got the ability to speak. And could people come to you about, what about public speaking? I mean, most people would rather die than speak in public.
So public speaking, to be honest, as a child, I was one of the most introverted in class. Okay, so you probably understand that when you're not spoken to, you just don't speak. Mm. You don't raise your hand to answer a question, even if you know. You never put yourself out there and get out of the way to try show yourself to the world. That's the kind of person I was. It was in high school that I realized how much I enjoyed public speaking and how I was actually quite good at it. In year 7 was when we had to hold our speeches. Is from intermediate all the way through to high school is where we hold speech competitions. And I did my first speech in year 7. I realized, okay, it wasn't that bad. By the time I hit year 8, I was already a finalist in the juniors. I was becoming a speech champion 3 years running. I was a senior speech finalist. And I realized that I just loved to empower people. I love to motivate people. And it was material that I gained in wisdom from my parents, and also things that I realized in life, even though I was quite young, things that I pick up on and think, wait a minute, people should be hearing this. People should be knowing that they have power to do something. They have power to change. And it was just everything inside me wanted people to just know that they could do something.
Yeah, that's what happens. And if I working with Toastmasters, I've helped train some people and the empowerment of them, and they're no longer afraid, and they'll get on and they'll volunteer to do it. And it's just amazing when you do have that. It's great. Now, last week's Golf News was a very big article, a full page with an ad. So go over again. When is the seminar, the introduction one? It's at Surfdale Hall?
Yes, that's right. It's at Surfdale Hall, Wednesday the 28th of May, from 7 p.m. to 8:30.
All right. And how can they get hold of you?
So my
number...
The easiest way.
Yeah, because most people won't be writing all of this down.
Okay. So the easiest way, first of all, is to go get the Golf News.
Yes, that's
the all the contacts are on there.
Yep.
And on the Golf News, I've also got links where people can book a seat.
Yeah.
Because it's limited, of course. I can't... In case, just for the numbering, I need to know how much it is that the hall will have to accommodate for setup. I've also got flyers all around Waiheke, mostly around Oniroa, and I'll be putting some more up. But there's also a Facebook page called X Consulting that is a public one.
You can look X Consulting. That's A-C-T-S.
That's correct.
How did you come up with that name?
So I was thinking, I have a Christian background, and I was trying to find a name. And at the same time, I was trying to find a name that would really give a good impression from the get-go when people saw my business. And I thought of Acts Consulting because the Book of Acts was based on everything that the Acts of the Holy Spirit. That's when the Church of Christ started to rapidly expand. And it was based on Acts of the Holy Spirit. Now, I wanted to do Acts Consulting because it was action. You have to take action in order for you to achieve what it is that you wanted to achieve. It's a complete opposite to procrastination.
Yes.
And it's not one large act that gets you to where you want to be, but a whole bunch of little acts that accumulate over time. Little decisions that you make every single day, all those little acts that get you to where you want to be.
Right. And we usually finish at 12, but we've gone past it because I think it's just so interesting, and people do need to be able to hear this. You also do youth work. Can you tell us a little bit about the youth work you do?
Of course. Okay, so the Waiheke Youth Center has recently changed management. Now they've decided that they're going to do some renovations. They've introduced some new materials and a new framework that they're going to work off. And Leah Beaumont is the coordinator, along with Doris Owina. And I'll be working alongside them with a fellow youth mentor, Vanessa Filo. We are two youth mentors on the island, which are about to start work really soon. They've just put up a calendar to show what events are going to be held at the Waiheke Youth Center in the Golf News as well, the same edition, the recent one.
So will that, yeah.
Yep. And what I'll be doing is I'll be helping to provide that safe environment for the Waiheke youth from the ages of 10 to 18. And we've put in some new events at the Waiheke Youth Center for young people to come, to give them things to do if they have nothing to do every day after school. It's also open on the weekends. And then what we've also introduced with Leah, who is currently doing a master's thesis at the University of Auckland, is a study night, which is for the older people who are wanting to come in and do study. We've also got Wi-Fi there now at the youth center. There's a pool table. The playground is right outside. We've recently had a trampoline donated by one of the policemen on the island.
Oh.
We've got table tennis. There's art supplies, so young children or older children can paint if they want to. There's a basketball hoop where people come in and volunteer to do either one-on-one basketball with Artie, who is a social worker and the husband of Doris. He's just volunteering at the youth center. There's so many people who want to get on board and contribute that it's really starting to get out there and have all these children. Ever since we opened about last month, we've had 82 children pass through.
Oh, wonderful. That's just so exciting.
Yeah.
And I know Doris. I realize now I know Doris. She's wonderful.
She is.
Yeah. She's a great person. And her husband's fabulous. They've done a lot of work, haven't they, with that?
Yes. So working with the youth is something that they really enjoy.
Yeah.
I'm also a youth leader at the Living Waters Church. And Vanessa's also a youth leader at Ask Church. So we've come in with a lot of experience working with the youth that we can also bring to the youth center. With the youth church that I'm with, I work alongside Te Rāroa and Josh Linnett. And we've just recently come back from an Easter camp in Hamilton. There was 11 of us, and we supervised them for five days at the Easter camp. And we'll also be planning other trips that we want to take the kids along. We're thinking maybe a weekend getaway where we could go to Snow Planet or Waiwera. And just it's not even the fun things that we do with the kids that make us want to work with the youth. But when we come back together with a greater sense of family and getting to know the kids is such an honor, I feel. I love them so much.
Yeah.
And it's just so great knowing that you can influence their lives and that you can help them to become to achieve what it is they want to achieve from such a young age, to just encourage them, because they have so much hope and they have so much potential at that age, and they're so malleable.
Yeah, and it's there, isn't it, for them, and they're excited. I saw your eyes just lit up then. It was just incredible that it is. It's very exciting. I was talking to someone about young people and how they just go and do it. They just...
Yeah.
Nothing seems to... As we get older, you sort of think, well, maybe I shouldn't, but they don't. You know, they'll come on the radio and talk on the radio. They just don't even think about it.
Yeah.
Adults go, oh, but no, the kids don't. Kids will be on the radio in 2 seconds if I ask them.
Yeah. That's so true. Such a wonderful thing about children is that... We grow up in a society that teaches we have to learn from the older people. But the more you look at even just young children, the way that they have no sort of concrete framework in the social world, there's no awkwardness with them. They just go out and get it, and they're so pure. And there's nothing that hinders them. They have no fear of negative evaluation from their peers. They just go after what it is they want to go after. And they're so happy. They're so happy because they've got no, what we call in my life coaching, they have no mental barriers that hold them back from doing what it is they want to do. They just go ahead and do it.
That's marvelous. Well, thank you. As I said, we've gone well over time today, but that was a lot to do with a lot of interesting people and getting settled. So thank you very much. So in the golf news, it's all in there, the last golf news. There's flyers around. So I must get you back some other time and we can go over some other things just to give, because this is really interesting. I think it's a great thing that you're working with young people and your enthusiasm and where you've started off life coach at such an early age. Well, thank you very, very much for coming in.
Oh, thank you. It was such a pleasure.
All right.